There we go. Now that that's the silence out of the way, we can return to the rest of our format.
It is a format. Not speaking is a format. All right.
I know, but it's going to be weird because I'm just, it's going to come in because I edit out most of the silence.
Oh.
So I might have to leave this one in.
People might turn off. Imagine that. Imagine them not wanting to listen to us.
I mean, I can, because I don't want to listen to you. I mean, although saying that, you're the proud dad of, well, by the time this goes out, you'll have been the proud dad of 5 or 6 episodes of your new a new thing.
The Spooky Shelf podcast. Yeah, where will we be? So this is going out. I'm sure we've made reference to this, but we are really far ahead with recording this year.
Yeah, well, so to put it in context for you, when this goes out, you're going to be 30.
I'll have had my 30th birthday at the point where this goes out, so that's interesting. But yeah, by that point, there will be a plethora of Spooky Shelf podcasts to go and listen to if you like horror movies. But we like talking about young gay boys. On this show, so that's what we're going to be discussing.
That was a segue.
Wasn't it? I would say it was pretty much seamless.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have noticed if I hadn't stopped to point it out to everyone who was listening, which is something that we both need to stop doing, I think.
Well, again, format.
Yeah, true.
Which of these two do you want to start with?
I don't know. Which one came out first? That's normally a pretty unfair way to do it. Oh, it was Young Roars that came out first.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Last new shows.
Last year or so, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Young Royals. Tell me about that. What happens at the start? How does Young Royals begin?
Well, it begins with a young royal being paparazzied.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they start talking, I realise that this is not in English.
So you suddenly were like, oh, well, this has gone down a few notches in your estimation.
I didn't know how much I was going to gel with it because it's about...
foreigners, and you hate that.
I was going to say royals, and I hate that.
But oh, so much greater is your hatred of foreign royals.
Well, we've got some in this country.
Well, one fewer than this time last year.
Yeah, but like, I don't have to go over all of the wank bank. But yeah, I mean, I didn't know how I was going to gel with it because... Royal, I don't see it as a... It's not really rife for drama as someone who's watched all of The Crown.
And Game of Thrones, the other royal show.
Oh, that's bizarre. I've never thought about The Crown and Game of Thrones being somewhat similar, but also one of them is far better.
Yeah, the one with dragons. So the
that is not a very nice way to talk about Claire Foy and Imelda Staunton. And Olivia Colman, who also played the Queen. But yeah, he gets punched in the face at the start, and I was like, oh,
cool.
Cool. Living the dream, guy who punched him in the face. And then it's just kind of that normal, I guess, royal thing where he was a bit of a loose cannon, get sent to a private school. Because, you know, that's a punishment.
Yeah, that would be a recurring theme with what I think about this, is struggling to give a shit about someone who's the most privileged in one of the most privileged positions in their country. So...
Yeah, which I think is why I wasn't really sure that I'd give
it.
A fuck. Yes. Because it's just, it's hard to relate to that kind of person. Whatever, like, your economic background is. how do you react to someone who's had like that much privilege and taxpayers' money?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that was that again, that's the core sort of thing that I struggle with as well, is that I was like, well, I don't really see why I should care about, you know, oh no, you've had to go to a private school, oh no, you're struggling to fit in. I don't give a fuck. You're doing okay, you know, you're doing better than 99% of people in the world. I don't care that you're like feeling like a bit of an outsider, or you know, you want to get to a party or whatever. I just, yeah, I struggled to give a shit, which is kind of, I guess it's not predictable for us, but that's entirely what I thought the reaction was going to be from you as well.
I'm not entirely sure if maybe it's the point.
Yeah, possibly. But then,
if it is, we've missed it.
Yeah.
Because I get, maybe the point is that he'll have like some sort of evolution while he's there and be not a spoilt little brat cunt at the end of it.
Sure, but at the end of it, he is still going to go home to his parents, who, you know, are, I guess, the king and queen. I don't know. I didn't really know.
Maybe catch. In the last episode, you see like
he gets crowned.
Peter Dinklage walks around the corner and just goes, "Kings are dropping like flies." And you just go,
holding
"Oh
up
no,
a big
this
cake.
Is Game of Thrones." But I mean, I guess that whole thing is going to be that there's going to be some friction about his partner choice, I think, throughout the show.
Yeah, that was the one sort of bit that I was like, okay, yeah, fine. Like, I still don't care about you, but at least at this point, you're becoming slightly more human.
Don't think there's any of the characters that I was really like, because even the people that they look down on are still going to a private school.
Yeah, it's, I'm not sure you can tell that story anymore. You know, just like we say, in a time where we've all hopefully had a look at what our privileges or might be, and where we might have, you know, had advantages over other people. Making a show about a prince who's having a bit of a tough time at school, I don't really give a shit. That's the trouble.
Because it's not even like Prince and the Pauper, it's Prince and the poorer prince.
That's what I thought it was going to be. I thought we were getting a sort of an adaptation of the Prince and the Pauper story, but then when it turned out that the Pauper is actually still minted as fuck as well, I lost interest again.
Yeah. I mean, it also doesn't make it... Oh, I've just read here, he's got a scholarship, so he's not actually... But I don't know, because it still sort of does just feel like, even with a scholarship, it's still a private school, and it doesn't look like he's trying very hard.
Yeah.
I did find it in, like... There were funny moments in it where, like, they're in their classroom, and they're just like, having it off, like having a debate about tax avoidance versus like the welfare state, and it's like,
yeah,
oh, this is what rich and poor people would talk about if they were in the same like room. And then the person who's arguing that like, if you do it, it's like, I can't, it's,
if you do it, it's tax avoidance, if I do it, it's I can't remember what the actual phrase is.
I can't. He's disgusting or a crime or something.
Yeah, it's a criminal offence or something.
And then it's just like, but we all know who got the most welfare. And it's like, I don't know if you can call what a royal family gets from the state welfare. Because his brother drives a Ferrari.
Yeah, it was just too much of a barrier for me to give a shit. And admittedly, at the time that I was watching it, I was also making mashed potato. So I was watching it like with with my phone on a stand and earphones in and listening to the dub version. So I didn't get that. This is something else that I wanted to talk to you about. Is, do you think when we watch stuff in a foreign language or a language that isn't English and we have subtitles on, which is generally my preferred way of doing it if I get to choose over, you know, a dub or a sub. Do you think we sort of apply, like, do we think it's more cultured and more highbrow than it actually is because we're having to read subtitles for it? Like, do you think we're not brilliant at actually discerning whether or not something's good because we're like, oh well, it's in a language that I don't understand, I'm having to read the subtitles, so it must be high art, you know?
Yeah.
But good, yep. Next question.
I've also seen subtitles under a Geordie, so
oh my god, that reminds me. My parents were around the other day and we started watching that Wrexham documentary on Disney Plus. And it's so clearly angled at Americans because it spends a lot of time explaining football and the fact that there's only two halves rather than quarters and there's no timeouts or anything like that. And then it cuts to like some of the Welsh people who are watching. Like, there's one guy who he runs the pub that all the Wrexham fans go to before and after the game. It's like he's the only person in the entire thing that has subtitles, and we could understand him perfectly.
Yeah, I need to watch that at some point. It does look good.
Do you know what? It's all right, actually. It's not bad.
Yeah, I feel like it's mostly just a good way for them to justify having bought a football team.
Yeah, I think that it probably is that. I think if you looked into the credits, it probably would be like one of their production companies. But, I mean, that is the angle that they're going for, is they're saying, look, we understand that we're the outside bet, that we're, you know, the guys from Hollywood. And they do speak quite earnestly. They do say, look, we will absolutely take the piss out of ourselves. We'll never take the piss out of the situation because it's... You know, this is the thing they keep coming back to, is that they feel they're investing in the community. If they invest in this football club, it brings the community together and gives them all a common thing. Which, okay, sure, but also I think they just wanted to do it because it's a cool thing to do.
Yeah, also, I mean, Ryan Reynolds has shown up to, like, I think, as far as I'm aware, turned up to a lot of the games. Maybe not all of them, but like a lot of them.
This is what prompted us to watch the documentary, is that because my brother was around, he's obviously football mad, he wanted the football on, and it was Wrexham against, I think it was either Sheffield Wednesday or Sheffield United, I can't remember, I think Sheffield United. And we just had the football in the background while we were chatting, and it kept cutting back to Ryan Reynolds, and he was there, and I was like, oh yeah, I think there's a documentary about it, so we started watching that. The other mad thing is that my brother's a big Bournemouth supporter. He's got a season ticket to Bournemouth. He goes to all the home games and then some of the away ones as well. Do you know who's a part owner in Bournemouth?
No, because it's a football club and I don't care.
You wouldn't guess it at all either. It's fucking Michael B. Jordan.
What?
My brother was there and he said, yeah, he showed up one day and he came onto the pitch and was waving at everyone. I was like, that's insane.
Yeah, but the last time he did that, he killed Black Panther.
Yeah, that is true. I actually, that's another thing that I started to catch up with. I watched the opening sort of 5-10 minutes of it because I was like, I want to know how they get around it, you know, and the way they do it is, it was a bit of a cop-out, but I don't know how you do that well.
Yeah. Don't worry, the rest of the film feels a bit like that as well. It kind of feels like they had a big story planned and then they went,
we've got to do something else.
But that's the thing, I think they did the same story, but there's a lot of what it may be just like, I just would rather he wasn't dead, which I think is probably the case.
I think that's what most people would think, I guess. But, I'd heard rumours like there was a script flying about that would have been about T'Challa's son. And it would have been a lot of, like, you know, dad stuff. But obviously that couldn't go ahead.
I think they built it around their central idea for Black Panther 2 and then had to, like, justify some changes.
Tweak it, yeah.
Yeah. But I think overall I still enjoyed it. I don't think it could ever have lived up to the first one. But
yeah, particularly when something as big as its star dying happens, you know. So yeah, fair enough. I mean, this just proves that Young Royals is that good that we're on another royal family of Black Panther.
But speaking of comic book adaptions.
Oh, I thought we were going to go into a really nice segue about House of the Dragon update there. Speaking of royal houses.
Also, that also works. We've done two segues and now we're talking about them.
Yeah. Yep. That's about on brand for us.
Okay, House of the Dragon update. House of the Dragon update.
I have finished it, yes.
Good update.
I thought it ended on a very strange note. Like, it just sort of fizzled. There wasn't, like, a big thing, really. Like, fair enough, Matey's dragon got bitten out of the sky, but...
I mean, also, feels like...
very much a setup for what is absolutely definitely happening with season two. I'm looking forward to it coming back. I just wanted it to continue, which I don't often have with shows, to be fair.
Yeah, so. I think they cut it at a good point. Like when the dragon split in two, they're just like cut.
Yeah, that was amazing. And it cuts to Daemon going in to tell Rhaenyra, is like, by the way, we've just had news. My first thought, however, was how the fuck did they know? Like, he was just in the sky.
Yeah, but then Patchy Boy will go home and brag about it. He'll be like, oh, you'll never guess what my dragon did when I lost control of it a bit. It ate another dragon. Whose dragon? Oh, you know...
Doesn't matter. Not important.
You know, Rhaenyra. Well, she's going to be mad.
You know, he took me eye. Basically, it's just all gotten out of hand and now my dragon's eating him.
Yeah. It was really good. And I think... it's a good way to leave it, like leave people wanting the next season.
Yeah, yeah. I think overall, I think I prefer the first half, just because that's a bit more sort of the politicking. And actually, what I realised is how big of a presence Paddy Considine was, because where he's not in the last episode...
it all kind of goes to shit for his family, doesn't it?
Mm. It did sort of... you know, I could have done... well, I didn't want more of him, because obviously that was the point of his story. His arc was to be, you know, the aging king who just wants his family all to get on. And he offers Daemon, like, he's like, look, you know, we've had our differences. Let's just fucking forget about it and let's just be, you know, brothers. He did what he really wanted the best for everybody and just wanted everybody to be friends. Like,
yeah, and then as soon as he died, his brother fucked his daughter.
But then that did make me laugh when he started talking about Aegon. And he's like, no, this whole thing could have been avoided if you just clarified it's not the fucking cunt you meant.
Not this one. Future Aegon. But then everyone will call him John.
There is something really, really sort of Shakespearean in that, you know, there is now going to be a war, you know, amongst this family because of a misunderstood sentence. There's something really, really Shakespearean. I do really quite enjoy that. So, yeah, I'm really, really, really enjoyed House of the Dragon, and I'm really looking forward to the second series of it now.
And cool. We'll see it when it comes.
Mm. Speaking of coming... Heartstopper. Okay, so
that was a weird segue for a TV show based in a school.
We do very often say that, and I think, you know, we're not guilty, but like when we see stuff we recognise put on screen, I think it hits us that much better.
Yeah.
So seeing a British school on a TV show. It just instantly, I was like, okay, I know what we're dealing with here. This is a fucking great show. I really liked this.
I really enjoyed it.
Have you finished it now?
No, I very nearly just kept on watching it
But it's very watchable, particularly because of the
thing about Swedish royals.
Particularly because of the length of it. I actually didn't I thought I just assumed, because generally the shows that we do are, you know, somewhere between 40 minutes to an hour long. I thought it would just it was just another one of those. So when it ended, I was like, "Oh, no, we'd carry on."
Yeah. And it's just a bit of a nice show.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing. Like, there's a bit of drama because kids and figuring themselves out is always going to lead to drama. But it's just, it mostly just seems like a quite nice story about Charlie just being like, "Gar, I just want to be happy."
Yeah. Yeah. And they're really likable. Most of them are very, very likable guys, aren't they? The two main leads as well. You're just like, oh, you just want it to go well for them. So, yeah. I really, really enjoyed this. Very much enjoyed the Stephen Fry voices, the headmaster.
Yeah. And Olivia Colman's Nick's mum as well.
I genuinely think I might have missed that. I was again cooking while I was watching this.
Oh, it's good that your enjoyment came through it, despite watching the English dubbed version. I watched the original English version.
Yeah, I would be interested to have a look at the comic book that this is based on. Yeah,
that's the thing. I didn't even, I think, throughout the opening titles, I just went, oh, it's a comic book adaptation, because they got that out of the way very easily by just being like, look, in this intro, there are some comic book panels shifting around, and I'm like, uh-huh, you're a comic book then. But this is TV. How can you be both?
What?
It just doesn't work in my brain.
I'll tell you what it does. It really does make me think, is that at the time when we were at school, like, I think we like to think of ourselves as, you know, extremely tolerant and progressive and, you know, accepting and that sort of thing. But when I look back to my school days, I was thinking about it, because this is what it made me think of. There wasn't anybody in my year who was just openly and quite happily known to be gay or any sort of like anywhere on the LGBT spectrum. I don't know if I want to say spectrum, but anyone who would classify themselves as, you know, within the LGBTQIA plus
category? I think we
don't know why I'm struggling with the word for this,
but
yeah, it just wasn't like a common thing. And obviously there were gay people at school, but at the time it was still, you know, and this is only, oh God, I say only, it was 15 years.
That's the thing, it always starts with, it was only, and then you go, oh no, that was like more than half my life ago.
Yeah.
But no, I know what you mean. I don't think they were as well represented, or it would have been quite as accepted, is the wrong word. Because, so, like, I mean, ultimately, kids mostly don't give a shit.
I would really, really hope that schools for kids now are a bit more, you know, like the school that we see in this. Is that, I mean, granted, there is a trans character who's been, you know, bullied out of the school, which is horrendous. But you would like, I would really, really like to think that, you know, The generations after us are more accepting than even, you know, we are. I hope that schools are a safer place for kids now.
And I think shows like this help that in the way that, like, it's not so other.
Yeah.
If you can watch it on Netflix. I was going to say telly, but that would just be showing my age.
Do you know what? It does make me wonder what the sort of the culture around Netflix shows at schools is now. Because it's like, because Netflix puts out new shows virtually every day, I do wonder how, like, you know, how there were massive crazes and stuff at school. I wonder how long those crazes last now. So for Heartstopper, like...
About as long as a TikTok, I reckon.
Do they, like... Does everyone binge it on the same night? Are people messaging about it? Do you know what I mean? Like, because...
I imagine it probably works in a similar way to when, like, if a group of us are all watching a TV show and we just are talking about it. Or, like, and you, they can do the same things that we can. They just won't use Skype because they're not 80. And they'll be able to, like, sit and do, like, watch parties like we do.
Yeah.
Except not like we do, because we can drink.
Soccer.
Yeah. God, those losers with their healthy livers and, like, prospects. Not apparently us old jaded
big,
fools.
Apparently that is a big thing. Like, there is a huge generational difference in drinking now. Like, kids don't really drink in the same way that
That's because they're not as sad as we are.
Do you know why? It's because they all talk about their problems and share it amongst friends and are really healthy.
But I don't Losers. Understand. Why don't they just go get pissed? Like good 14-year-olds.
Yeah, I would quite happily... I feel like this would be a very good show for me and Lise to watch just in the evenings and stuff. I also think it would really, really... She would find it incredibly... emotional watching something like this, because she is a sucker for, like, a nice love story. So, and I hope
she ended
that
up
is
with
where
you.
This stays. Exactly. It's like in Sex Education. I can't remember which character says it, but, like,
I thought you were talking about being at school still. It's like Sex Education. I was like, I don't understand how this tangent is going to happen.
Don't wash it like that. Give it here. You know. That's There's a thing in Sex Education, I can't remember which character it is, but it says something along the lines of, I'm gay, every show or movie about my kind of people ends in them dying. So I hope it doesn't do anything horrible like this, but apparently Big Boys is quite similar to this as well, which came out last year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to watch more of this.
Yeah,
Young Royals,
I feel like it's going to be incredibly, I feel like this is going to be incredibly watchable. And just very, very easy, casual watching, you know? So, I'd quite happily sit through more of this, for sure.
Yeah, I also have a feeling that there might be... There will just be something that happens at some point. I'll just be like... Just message, just be like, made me cry.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, actually, no, what I'll do is I'll text you and say, like, I'm going to get drunk now. Do you want to come?
Well, I mean, as long as that's Thursday night, we can do, because I'm heading over your way. We're going to the horror show on a Friday morning, aren't we? Friday, 10 o'clock in the morning, which actually, now that I think about it, might be slightly quite an early start for us all.
I've already told Jack what time we have to leave.
Good. That's right. I'm amazed it's that way around, said, like, I'll be honest.
Well, it's because I was morbidly curious, because I had to work out all the logistics of... drinking the evening before and then waking up. Because that's not how I like to operate. I like to drink until I'm dead. On the inside.
Well, you could switch it round. We could
I mean, it doesn't take long.
Wake up early and then start drinking. Okay, what's the next episode we're doing? The Lincoln Lawyer, which is a Matthew McConaughey film. So they've made a TV show out of that, is it?
Correct.
And 7 seconds. I have no idea what 7 seconds is about. And those are always the ones
I reckon
that
it's short.
Oh, boy. Racial. That's what
it's
we're
just,
getting
it's just one TikTok.
Tensions run high between African-American citizens and Caucasian cops in Jersey City when a teenage African-American boy is critically injured by a cop. Oh, it's going to be big. It's going to be big. When's it never topical, though? So
that is the problem.
Yeah.
Because we could release it in April and it could be just off the back of something horrendous happening that Americans don't see that way. But yeah, watch Heartstopper. Don't bother with Young Royals because we don't care.
Because you hate them bloody foreigners, don't you?
No, I keep saying it's the Royals I don't like. But it's the way I say it.